Today's scripture comes from Luke 13, verses 1 through 9. About that time, some people came up and told him about the Galileans Pilate had killed while they were at worship, mixing their blood with the blood of the sacrifices on the altar. Jesus responded, "Do you think those murdered Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans? Not at all. Unless you turn to God, you too will die. And those 18 in Jerusalem the other day, the ones crushed and killed, when the Tower of Siloam collapsed and fell on them, do you think they were worse citizens than all other Jerusalemites? Not at all. Unless you turn to God, you too will die." Then he told them a story. A man had an apple tree planted in his front yard. He came to it expecting to find apples, but there weren't any. He said to his gardener, "What's going on here? For 3 years now, I've come to this tree, expecting apples, and not one apple have I found. Chop it down. Why waste good ground with it any longer?" The gardener said, "Let's give it another year. I'll dig around it and fertilize, and maybe it will produce next year. If it doesn't, then chop it down." Luke 13, verses 1 through 9.
So when we read the scripture, we have the habit of saying, as we just did, "Thanks be to God. It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." On occasions where we read scriptures like we did today, I'm not so sure we mean it. Jesus is pretty harsh here. Jesus is not necessarily being very nice about this. There were some people who died, and rather than showing compassion, rather than showing sympathy, Jesus says, "Do you think they were worse than the ones that didn't die? You all keep this up, everybody's going to. Everybody's in the same boat. Everybody's in the same situation." And he tells the story of an apple tree that was not bearing apples. And the reaction is, cut it down. If it's not bearing apples, cut it down. Jesus is being quite harsh here, which creates sort of a mystery. Last week, if you were here, we read a scripture that Jesus is looking over Jerusalem that had done such terrible things throughout its history to the prophets of God. And Jesus says in these beautiful words, "What I really wanted to do is gather you together under my wing like a mother hen gathers her chicks." These very compassionate, kind words of people who had done wrong. He's acknowledging how wrong they had been, how murderous they had been towards the prophets of God. And yet, he shows such great compassion. If you didn't hear that sermon, you can find it online. It's about Jesus gathering people together, even people who are wrong, like a mother hen gathers her chicks. Just a beautiful image. But then in this particular instance, Jesus is not showing that kind of compassion. He's not showing that kind of genuine heart that we expect of Jesus. His words are actually quite harsh. And so now we have a mystery. Why would Jesus, who has shown so much compassion, so much kindness, so much love, even for people who have done so many things wrong, that he's always showing forgiveness and kindness and gentleness, in this case, he would be so harsh? Well, I love a good mystery, so I'm willing to dive into this. And I think one of the things we need to do is put this in the light of Scripture and put it in the light of what we know as Christians, the basics, the foundation of the Christian beliefs. And if we do this, I think this particularly harsh Scripture is going to come into a very nice light. So as we look at what we believe, the foundation of what we believe as Christians, there's a number of church documents that provide this. One of them is known as the Apostles' Creed. It began to circulate in the church in the late 4th century, about 390 AD or so, and it lays out the foundational beliefs that we have as Christians. Can I have that on the screen, please, the Apostles' Creed? And I want us to take a look at this. What it tells us is that I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So right off the bat, we need to understand God is all powerful. He makes everything. God makes heaven, he makes earth. He is the power of the universe, the all power. There is no limit to God and God's knowledge, God's God's creative ability, everything about God, completely all-powerful. We first of all acknowledge that. And then we believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead, which means the living and the dead, that he will judge all things. Quick and the dead is an old English phrase, meaning all people, living and dead, that all people have lived, that Jesus is that judge. This Apostles' Creed sort of gives, in a very brief version, the story of Jesus, that extended from God, born of the Holy Spirit, came from God, is God, the incarnation of God, that comes and lives and dies and is resurrected, that dies for our sins and is resurrected from the grave. This is the story of Jesus, of God coming to us, that this God who is all-powerful, that is creator of heaven and earth, is not just watching us from above, is not just looking down and seeing how we do, but actually came to us, is with us. Jesus is called Emmanuel. It means God with us. And then we believe in the Holy Spirit that is with us now. We don't have to understand how the Holy Spirit's with us, but the Holy Spirit descended in Acts chapter 2. There's no record the Holy Spirit ever left. The Holy Spirit is always with us. God is always with us. God is never just looking down on us from above, that God is with us in the Holy Spirit. That we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Now, when it says the Holy Catholic Church with a small c, that is the universal church, all denominations of every believer. We have different practices. We have different understandings of things. We have some disagreements among us as far as theology and doctrine. We have different traditions and worship styles, but we're all the same church. We don't always agree with one another, but we're all the same church. We all believe in God. We all believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. So we're all together in this. We believe in the communion of saints, which means we're not just in it together for those who are living right now. We are part of a great history. We are part of something special that has been throughout the world, throughout time, that God has moved in the hearts of God's people. And we are the latest generation of disciples of Jesus Christ. We stand in a great history. There are some flaws in our history. It's not perfect. The church has made plenty of mistakes. The church has departed and rebelled against God. So it's not perfect. But we stand in a great history of people who have loved God, who have followed Christ, who have allowed the Holy Spirit to use them in great ways. We believe in the forgiveness of sins because we're not perfect. Because in our history we have struggles, and in our current moment we have struggles. We make mistakes. We are not a perfect people. But we have the forgiveness of God. We believe in the resurrection of the body. This means that the life to come, it's actually real. It's not just a returning to light. It is not just some sort of mystic state that we go to. It is real life. The giver of life, God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, creates life eternally. And we live that eternal life. For a little while, we live it here in this physical world. But the spiritual world is just as real, really more. And we live a real life as we leave this one. And we believe that life is everlasting. God is the giver of life, and he is a giver of life for all time. It is eternal life. These are the things that we believe. These are the basic foundational elements of what we believe as Christians. We believe in God, who is creator. We believe that this God doesn't just look down on us and see how we're doing. But God came to us in Jesus. God comes to us in the Holy Spirit. He gives us community together, and he teaches us not only from his Spirit, but from the saints who have gone before us, the people who lead us to this place. And he gives us his Spirit so we can lead the next generations, so that we can teach those who come after us. We do this for a little while, and then we join him in a real life in heaven for all eternity. This is what we believe. And what we see all through this is a God who is active in our lives. That God, who is all things, who has all power, didn't need us. And yet he created us. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He didn't have to. There was no forcing him to. He wanted to. And then when the world fell into sin, God has all power. He could destroy the whole thing, but he loves us too much to let us go. He loves us too much to let us go. God was not compelled to create us or to keep us. He does that out of love. And what we see in God's loving relationship with us is he himself takes human form in Jesus Christ, the incarnation of God, to live this life. We see him paying the price for our sins in the crucifixion and overcoming all that in the resurrection and the Holy Spirit coming with us. We see God actively working through the generations. No matter how many struggles and failures we have in this life, God does not quit. He continues to work with every generation of Christians, that community of saints throughout the ages, until we live with him forever. This is an active God who we hear in Isaiah, the scripture we read earlier, has a higher way of thinking than us. He sees things differently than us. And as we read earlier in Isaiah, chapter 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's bigger than us. He's smarter than us. He sees more than us. He's more powerful than us. And we are told by the prophet Isaiah, seek this God. He gives pardon. He gives freely. Come to this God. Seek God. Put away those wicked things. Put aside those things that stand between us and God. Seek the Lord. He can be found. And his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So here we have this all-powerful God, maker of heaven and earth, who thinks completely differently than us. We're never going to quite reach that level of wisdom and thought in our tiny little brains as human beings. That God is just that big, just that powerful. And yet, instead of lording over us as the all-powerful, he comes to our level in Jesus. He lives with us in the Holy Spirit. So if we have all of this, if we have this understanding of God, who is God of love, who is God of power, God of wisdom, that comes to our level in Jesus, comes to our level in the Holy Spirit living through us and works with every generation. So we're all in this together, in this generation and the one standing on the shoulders of the ones who have come before us. We are all in this life together with God. If that's what we believe, if that's what we know as Christians, if that is the foundation of what we understand, then let's go back to our mystery. Jesus is saying, expect fruit. He compares to an apple tree that doesn't bear apples. Chop it down. There's an expectation of fruit. There's an expectation that something comes from us. The comparison here is his people. We are his creation. There's an expectation that there is fruit. Now, sometimes this gets used to make people feel guilty, to work really, really hard, to try so hard to do something good in this world, to make our life better, to show God, look what I did. Look how hard I worked. Look how many good deeds I did. Jesus said, do you really think those that bad stuff has happened to them are worse than any of you guys? You're just as bad. Jesus kind of puts everybody in the same boat. Everybody in the same category. That we're all struggling. I don't think Jesus is trying to be mean. I think he's trying to teach us. We can't do it. It's not about our works. It's not about how hard we work or how many good things we try to do. Of course, we want to try to be people of character and people of integrity, and God will lead us into good works. But it's not a matter of keeping score of how many good things I have done for God. It's not a matter of keeping score of how good I am versus someone else. This is one of our favorite things to do in Christianity. One of our favorite things is to look at my life, which I know is not perfect, but it's better than those people. And as long as I can say, well, it's better than those people. And by the way, I get to pick those people. I get to choose the people that I want to compare to, right? So as long as I can say my life, while not perfect, is better than those people, then I can feel good about myself, right? And I feel like that God should feel good about me because while he knows I'm not perfect, he knows I'm better than them. And Jesus is coming along and saying, no. You think you're better than those people? No, you're not. Where is the fruit? Where is the bearing of fruit in your life? Now, again, this leads us sometimes to think, uh-oh, I don't want to be chopped down like a tree. It's not bearing fruit. I better do good stuff. I better work really hard. But what we see is in our belief as Christians, none of that had to do with how hard we work, with how smart we are. This has to do with God. That God is the creator. Jesus is the Savior. The Holy Spirit is the one within us living out the Spirit generation after generation of the church until we live with him forever. And his ways are higher than ours. His understanding is higher than our understanding. His way of seeing is so much broader than our way of seeing things. And so what Jesus wants us to understand is the Christian life is not just judging yourself better than someone else. The Christian life is understanding who God is. Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit within us, that this God is the one who bears the fruit. There has never been an apple tree that strained real hard to make apples, that grunted real hard to get the apples to come out. It doesn't work that way. The apples come out naturally. The apples come because it's a healthy apple tree that God has made and created to bear apples. We are a creation of God. A God who thinks so much higher than us. A God who understands so much more to us. And God will bear fruit from our life, maybe in ways we will never even understand in this life. God will bear fruit from our church, maybe ways that we don't even understand. Because God is the creator. And God is an active creator. And so our work is not to just try to be good or better than those people. Our work is not to just jump over a lot of hurdles to try to show how hard we're working for God. Our work is to be a creation of God. A continuous creation of God, that God is continuing God's creative work through the Holy Spirit in our life and in our church. That God is continually able to continue his work of creation. That creation was not just a one-time thing. Creation was not something that God spun the universe into being and just watches over it. God created and then God is active. Even in the midst of the fall, even in the midst of the struggle, we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the communion of saints together, we have eternal life in God. All these things come because God sees a bigger picture than we're able to see. Let me put it another way. Jesus knows that if we are with God, our life will matter. We may not always understand that, because God's way of seeing things is higher than ours. God's way of doing things is beyond our understanding at times. But God always bears fruit for those who are in his creation. An apple tree bears apples. When it is healthy, when it is the nutrients are there, the apple tree bears apples. That analogy goes to us as Christians. When we are a healthy Christian, firmly rooted in what we believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, in eternal life with the communion of saints. We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We believe in all these things. We believe in a God that is higher than us. And we are rooted in his Spirit. We bear fruit in ways that we may never understand. We bear fruit. God's not looking for people to measure themselves against someone else. He's very harsh about that. Jesus says, he says, you think you're better than those people because they died, because there was an accident, because there was a murder? You think you're better than them, that they were bad and you're good? No. Without God, all of us are bad. Without the Holy Spirit, we are all lost without God. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer. He is our Spirit. He is the giver of eternal life. Without God, we're all messed up. But with him, we bear fruit. We bear it naturally because God is our Creator. What if we tune into God? We root ourselves in our faith in Jesus Christ. We allow the nutrients of the Holy Spirit to flow through us every single day. And we bear the fruit as God's people, as God's church, that he brings forth naturally in his creation. See, Jesus is not being harsh to condemn people. He's being harsh to warn them. Don't waste your life just trying to prove how good you are. Don't waste your life trying to compare yourself to someone else that you say is worse than you. Don't waste your life thinking that it's all about what you can accomplish. You're a creation of God, just like that apple tree, bear fruit. And if you're trying to be something else, you're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Then you're missing the point of your own creation. What good's an apple tree that doesn't bear apples? That doesn't do what it's created to do? Our work is to be tuned in to God, to understand ourselves as a creation of God the Father Almighty, who created heaven and earth, created us, every single one of us, on purpose, because he wanted to, because he wanted us. And Jesus, who redeems us, forgives us of our sin, the Holy Spirit that leads us together throughout history to bear fruit. Our life matters. Our life bears fruit. Sometimes we'll understand that. Sometimes we'll see it. Sometimes we don't, because God's ways of seeing things and understanding things are much higher than ours. But if you want a life that matters, if you want our church to matter, if you want your life here in this world to matter, then we bear fruit. And we do that as a creation of God. And so may we be a people who believes in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that believes in Jesus Christ our Lord, who believes in the Holy Spirit and is part of, actively part of, that communion of saints, knowing that we're only here for a little while and then we live forever with him. If we believe that, we believe that to our core, and we live that out every day in the Spirit of God, we will bear fruit. We may not be able to measure it ourselves because God thinks higher than us. We may not be able to compare it to other people. That's not the goal. God says, Jesus said, without God, without me, all of you are lost. We weren't put here to just be an individual tree that bears no fruit. We were created to be part of God's Spirit and with the communion of saints to bear fruit together. May we be that kind of people and that kind of church. as we are the creations of God. And that's why I say that when we come into this place, we do a lot of great things. We do a lot of things that I really enjoy. I love singing, I love preaching. But the most important thing we do is we pray together. Because if we're going to be in tune with God, it's about prayer, it's about scripture. It's about worship. It's about doing the things of our faith that put us in touch with God. That's what bears fruit. Being a spiritual person in connection with God is what bears that fruit. And then we never have to compare to anybody else, good or bad. Because God and God's wisdom that is so far beyond ours, he leads us into that fruit, into that life that he has for us, that life that really matters, that matters in eternity. And so we pray. We get ourselves in touch with God. And we do that all week until we gather the next week. That's what we do as God's people and God's creation.